This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
What's up, everybody? Jack Maloney back with Friendly Bounce and Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network with my guy Zachary Bennett for a little WNBA Finals preview. We got the Minnesota Lynx taking on the Indiana Fever. So big news for Zach out in Minnesota. You going to the game on Sunday there, Zach?
I believe so, yes.
Nice. That'll be pretty sweet. Have you been to a finals game for the Lynx before?
I have not. I have been to a couple Western Conference Finals games now, but I've never done a championship game of any caliber at any level, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, this is a sort of surprising matchup, I would say.
I would agree.
Not necessarily for the Lynx, like that's really not surprising at all, but I mean, of any of the teams in the Eastern Conference, like Indiana was probably fourth on the teams you thought would come out of there. Chicago and in New York were certainly the favorites, and then, you know, Washington was kind of a sleeper, but Indiana's here. I mean,
I do want to take a minute to gloat about the sweep that I called in the other conference final, but. I don't think anybody could have predicted Indiana being here.
I did actually predict.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, before the Eastern Conference Finals, I ended up going with the Fever. Not with any sort of confidence, but it was technically my official pick, so.
Are you saying, Jack, that we both called the conference finals matchup after a year of telling everybody how we don't know all that much? And, you know, look at us now. Look how far we've come.
I believe that is exactly correct, Zach. Confirmed WNBA geniuses.
Well, maybe. it should be really fun. Do you want to go back to how the team got here?
Yeah. Why don't we do that? I'll go over the Fever quick, and then you can take care of the Lynx. So, Indiana was a 3 seed. They faced the Chicago Sky in the first round. Lost the first game, then battled back to win 2 in a row, including Game 3 in Chicago. Tamika Catchings almost had a triple-double that game. Then, similar scenario in the Eastern Conference Finals there, taking on the Liberty. Lose game one, just got absolutely destroyed by the Liberty in game one. Then came back from an 18-point deficit in game two to force game three, and then went into the Garden game three the other night and took care of business, and here we are. Tamika Catchings has been unbelievable. Coach White, Stephanie White over in Indiana's first year, but she can coach. This team is really just, they're powered by Catchings, and, you know, people like to talk about clicking at the right time. It certainly seems like that's what they've done in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, that's sort of a quick hits of how Indiana got here. What about the Lynx?
Are you calling the Fever a team of destiny, Jack?
It may be. You know, Tamika Catchings, her career's winding down. She said she's retiring at the end of last season, but I don't know. I kind of feel like if the Fever are able to pull this out, I feel like this is the last ride for Tamika.
I believe if it isn't their catchphrase, it should be, Tamika ain't gonna let them lose.
Yeah.
what I heard somebody amongst the Lynx media contingent say the other day. But I don't know if you saw game two of the Western Conference Finals, but
I did.
It was, I mean, I, was able to catch the second half for reasons I won't disclose. And, yeah, I mean, Maya was amazing. I think a lot of the discussion since game two is regarding the phantom foul call that the WNBA admitted they got wrong. But just for Maya to score 40 and put the official in position to make the phantom foul call is impressive in itself.
Right.
In the opening round, I'll go back there like you did, I guess. The Lynx won in a three-game series over the Los Angeles Sparks. I think we've discussed it on previous podcasts, but their defense really seemed to come alive in game three and has since carried through the Western Conference Finals and on to the WNBA Finals. Rebecca Brunson on Candace Dupree was huge. Her ability to get 19 rebounds in game one was probably the key to that game. She had 5 assists in game two, I believe, so getting it done in different ways is her thing. But I don't know a lot about this Indiana match, this Indiana team when they came here during the season. I wasn't able to go to the game, so I'm intrigued at the matchup because they're obviously good. They got here, so...
Yeah, they, I believe the first game, they only played twice, I think. And the first game, Catchings didn't play. And then the second game, the Lynx won rather handily. And I believe the Lynx had fouls at that point. I guess just, you know, mentioning fouls, that's a good segue to, that's going to be a huge advantage for, Minnesota. We've talked about it on previous podcasts how the Fever like to go small, and you know they'll play sometimes three guards along with Tamika Catchings, and you know the Lynx have obviously Maya's their best player, but with Fowles and Brunson, like they got a pretty bruising front line that rebounds like crazy, and that's gonna be tough to deal with for Indiana.
Who do you? It's who can guard Rebecca Brunson, really. I think Rebecca Brunson can defend almost every position, so it's almost like I almost see her and Tamika Catchings as equals, but I admittedly haven't seen enough.
Yeah, I think Catchings guards Maya. I was watching a little film of the second time they played, like the one when Catchings actually did play, and Catchings was guarding Maya most of the time. She held her to 11 points, but Maya shot like 4 of 8. It was kind of a blowout, so I don't know how much you can really take from it.
No, what I noticed about that too, because I'm a stats dude, so I obviously didn't watch the film. I looked at the box score, but I watched the game live to my credit. But it opens things up for teammates. It opens things up for Simone Augustus and Lindsey Whalen. I mean, I don't know how many individual defenders, you know, person-to-person defenders that are above average to elite that Indiana has aside from Tamika Catching. But I do know the Lynx have a lot of offensive weapons, so I don't know how Indiana scores enough because the Lynx obviously could be the best team in the league. I mean, regardless of the matchup, you could argue the Lynx would win it anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, both of these teams in the regular season were top 5 offenses and top 5 defenses. Like, I mean, they can play on either end. Like, Indiana Catchings obviously is one of the best in the league still, but otherwise it's, you know, a pretty group effort. They're really tough. They play together and, you know, kind of just like how we said with New York, and like it's a team effort. Like, I mean, Catchings has stepped up in the playoffs, but throughout the season, it was a definite team effort in Indiana. You know, they would play like their whole bench sometimes, and their rotations obviously shortened in the playoffs. But I mean, you look at Erlana Larkins, who over the course of the season never played 30 minutes. Like, she played 21 games, never played 30 minutes, and in the playoffs, she's all of a sudden done that 4 out of 6 games and is averaging like I don't have the numbers in front of me, but she's averaging like 10 points and 7 rebounds in the playoffs. So this Indiana team, besides Catchings, like, you don't know who's going to have a day. And in some ways that can hurt you because you don't have like defined roles, but it seemed to work for Indiana all season long. I don't see any reason why it can't again, but yeah, this is going to be a good matchup. I'm excited to watch it.
Well, it'll be hopefully, from a viewer's perspective, if I'm looking for the most entertaining and competitive series, not that I think this will happen, but if Indiana does go to 7 or 8 or not even 9 players down the bench,
mm-hmm.
how do the Lynx respond to fresh bodies?
Because right.
Cheryl Reed pretty much just refuses to go past 7. I mean, that's
yeah.
the rotation she brings in.
Yeah.
Deborah Peters and brings in occasionally, she doesn't go deeper than 7, however you want to put it. She just goes who's going, and or if somebody makes mistakes, you sit down and you don't get back in the game. So that's been an intriguing facet of the Lynx throughout the postseason to watch. The league's most accurate or second most accurate three-point shooter has hardly played a minute of competitive basketball in the playoffs. What does that tell you about the Lynx offense?
Right.
So, if Indiana can just repeatedly throw fresh bodies out there, does that wear the Lynx down? Does Reeve have to go more to her bench? I think from a viewer's perspective, that would be the most entertaining series.
Yeah, like, in the regular season, Indiana led the league in bench scoring. They scored 28 points a game from their bench, while the Lynx only had 14.
They were the second worst.
Yeah. And then in the playoffs, like, obviously things, the rotation's shortened a little bit, but Indiana's still averaging 16 points off their bench, and Minnesota's averaging 9.
That regular season bench scoring is misleading somewhat because the Lynx bench was part of the starting lineup, but
true.
At the same time, it probably doesn't put up very gaudy numbers if Cheryl Reeve isn't really playing a lot of bench players. So,
There's definitely advantages for both teams in this series, and like you said, top 5 offenses, top 5 defenses. Minnesota's got the edge down low, but Indiana's a much deeper team. They got the depth, and Tamika Catchings is playing as well as anybody. Like, she can match Maya. If she can match Maya 1-for-1, like, it's going to be a competitive series. I don't think it's, like, from the casual fan perspective, like, you probably wanted to see, Elena Deladon versus Maya Moore, but like, if you're not paying attention like to Tamika Catchings, she's every bit as exciting to watch. Like, she doesn't have the name of Deladon, but like, Catchings has been unbelievable.
How's this, Jack? You're a Boston guy. You'll like this. If we're going bad comparison, she's Garnett on the 08 Celtics.
Yeah, I was talking to friend of the program, Josh Zavido, who he'll be out there by your
yeah.
way.
Who I intend to come in contact with while he's here, yes.
Yeah, I was talking to him the other day, and I said, Tamika Catchings is Paul Pierce.
Okay, that's fair.
Either one you want to work with. Like, she's late in her career, but...
Together. I'm not kidding. Put them together. That's what you have to.
Yeah, I mean, you see it, like you were saying, she won't let him lose. Like, it's such a cliche, but I mean, they haven't lost. They're 4-0 in elimination games. Like, she's not letting them lose. She's literally not doing it.
Tamika ain't gonna let them lose.
I looked it up in the elimination games, the 4 games where they've went 4-0, Catchings is averaging 22 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists.
I mean, we said the same thing about Candace Parker, remember? Sort of funny how things work out. The Lakers get by Candace Parker.
Yeah.
They run into another, oh, I can do it all player.
Yeah,
it is a five game series, which is exciting. That is, I think, cool.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see them at some point move the conference finals to five games and go 3-5-5 instead of 3-3-5. I think, I don't know, like three games in the conference finals, that just doesn't seem right to me. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe those series get too long and travel or
whatever
the case may be. If you want to, I feel like in the WNBA, you can implement some sort of like, okay, if Phoenix beats Tulsa by 20 or more in two straight games, you can move it to a sweep. If not, you have to play a series, you know, like a mercy rule.
Yeah, that matchup was, yeah, that was not really fair. But, well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're missing your best player for Tulsa, but anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been watching this Lynx team up close. You were at game one of this Western Conference Finals, right?
Yeah, I've been around them.
Like, what have you been seeing from them? They sweep Phoenix, who was excellent all season. You know, we talked about them, you know, struggling in that Los Angeles series, trying to work everybody back. How's it looking since we last talked, reintegrating, you know, Waylon and Simone Augustus?
Well, I think it's the feeling or the vibe I got during the Western Conference Finals and throughout the playoffs really was, okay, well, we got through the regular season, we got home court advantage, we've already come farther than we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's back and getting into routine. The Lynx are where they want to be.
Right.
And I think it sort of feels like, you know, I don't want to put anybody into a weird, I'm not saying they feel this way because they don't, but I think the hard part for them is over now that they're here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've gotten by Phoenix. You know, even during the Phoenix series, they didn't have Taurasi, and you knew they didn't have Taurasi. You could tell it was apparent by the way they played, by the way the Lynx played against them. So there's, you know, I don't want to say they're Spursian because that's another bad comparison. We've already used one. but, I mean, they're professional. This is what they got here for. They're not celebrating that fact, but they're focused on the task at hand. And this is what it's been about all season, getting to this point and getting the job done.
Right. I mean, they took a roundabout way of getting there, but, I mean, you sweep in the Western Conference Finals and now you're in the finals. Like, that's kind of what everyone expected. Like, the regular season was a bit of a bumpy road at times, but yeah, like you said, you're in the finals now. Like, you made it.
And as turbulent as everything was throughout the season with all the injuries and the absences, mm-hmm. going through the best team in the Western Conference. The best team in the Western Conference. So,
yeah.
It's almost as if they've been doubted all year. But here they are, and they're the one team that can say throughout this playoffs that they've been healthy and
mm-hmm.
the team that they were at the beginning of the season. So it's funny how that works out.
Yeah, I think if I have to make a pick, I go Minnesota, especially with that home court advantage, and it seems like everyone's sort of getting back into place now with Waylon and Augustus and how Brunson has been playing. I think it's going to be super competitive. I mean, obviously, if we've seen, Indiana's not going to give up, even if they get down in the series. They're going to make the Lynx work for everything, but I think Minnesota pulls this out they have too many weapons offensively.
The lack of, you know, Maya scored more than half of the Lynx points in game two, so it is alarming how the chemistry isn't where you'd like it to be yet if you're the Lynx, but you know, at the same time, this is a, we didn't even mention once that this is a rematch of the 2012 final.
Yeah, that is true.
Remember when we made a big deal about that on a previous podcast, I think, and we thought nothing of it at the time. We're like, oh, that's an interesting parallel. and here we are. So
yeah,
it's Indiana is a team the Lynx have had success against this season. And,
yeah,
although not in the postseason, but I think they're pretty capable of winning. I'm not going to say it's going to be a sweep, though.
No, I'll hedge my bet and say Minnesota in five.
Oh wow, you think okay, all five. Wow, that would be how lighthearted this conversation has been game before game five if we were to do a podcast tonight, if there is one. I think the mood is totally different on that one. But yeah, game five, that I'll go Lynx in four if we're making predictions, but I always have the right to take it back.
You can change our mind after game one.
Yeah, correct. We might as well turn these podcasts out, right? This is the last we've got until the draft.
This is it. You got any final thoughts on game one on Sunday?
No, it's on ABC, so the people.
That's correct.
Have no reason not to watch it.
Yep, 3:00 Eastern, ABC. Football's obviously on. It's not exactly a great matchup for the WNBA, but what are you going to do? You got to play it. It's the finals.
Take the primetime television when you got it, huh?
Yeah. So, Zach will be in the house for game one. That's 3:00 Eastern on ABC, Indiana at Minnesota. Shout out to Josh, our guy, who will be out there as well. Hope you find your ID, buddy. All right, that's a wrap for our WNBA Finals preview. I'm Jack. That's Zach. Here's our guy, DJ Los Latino, playing us out. Peace.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.